This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today is October, sorry about that. Today is October 22nd, 2021, and we continue with our chapter on the etiquettes of visiting the masjid. Today's an interesting day because it's Friday, alhamdulillah, and Fridays are always interesting days. The weather is getting cold. The masjid is still at the same capacity. We want to see it full again, alhamdulillah. You know, all these announcements coming out and new sort of protocol and so on is being discussed. So we'll wait a little bit. I know a lot of people have been asking me, you know, what's going on? What is the masjid deciding on? Let's just wait. Let the management have a meeting, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to the new announcement by our, you know, premier here in Ontario, the province. And then we'll see what decision is made by the management. So until then, let's just carry on. Okay, let's just carry on, inshallah ta'ala. That's just the way it's been for the last little while. And it's nice to see that, alhamdulillah, we are able to still at least meet virtually. I wish we could meet in person. Hopefully we will, inshallah, very soon. Because, you know, I think I look short on the screen. I don't know. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we need to meet in person so that I could look tall again. Alhamdulillah. But anyways, we're going to carry on. Last week, we talked about a few things, again, pertaining to the masjid. An-nahyu an tashbik al-asabi', so going like this when heading to the masjid. Because we're considered to be in the prayer or in prayer, right? We're getting rewarded for that. Raising our voices. An-nahyu an inshad. So basically, prohibition of making announcements for things that have been lost, you know, if anyone has found it and so on. Today we continue, inshallah, with a few things that we probably already know. But I want us to, I'm going to try and finish up a little bit quicker than usual, hopefully. And then what I want to do is open it up for Q&A, because I know some of you have some questions. And alhamdulillah. Another thing that's happened this week before I even forget is the fact that the haram, right? As we saw last week, there was an announcement that the Haram in Mecca and Medina would be open full capacity once again. And that was announced on Friday. But as of last Sunday, we saw that the masjid was full. And so it's a good sign. I know I've been looking almost every single day, in fact, every single day, at pictures of Mecca and Medina and trying to see, you know, the improvements and the capacity limits and how it's been going. And subhanAllah, it really feels like it used to be. So it's a nice feeling. Hopefully we get to go for Hajj again sometime soon. Hopefully we get to go for Umrah as well. And, you know, we really hope that every single one of us has the ability, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua to grant us the ability to go to Mecca and Medina once again, whether we've been there before or not, to be able to stand before the Kaaba, to be able to make tawaf around the Kaaba, to go between Safa and Marwa and perform sa'i. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of us with the ability to go for Umrah and to complete that Umrah and to be an accepted Umrah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant every single one of us the opportunity to go for Hajj once again, and to accept our Hajj and to make it easy for us to complete that Hajj perfectly and properly the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to come back after performing that Hajj completely free from sin, as though it was the day that our mother had given birth to us, right? Free from sin entirely and fully. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So now we continue with our topic, right? The topic of Jawaz at-tahadduth bil-umur ad-dunyawiyya al-mubaha fil masjid. So the permissibility of speaking about things that are pertaining to this dunya while we are in the masjid, and those are things that are permissible that pertain to the dunya. Okay, so things related to this dunya that we talk about within the masjid that are permissible, it is permissible to speak about that or to speak within the masjid about certain topics and things. So it is permissible for someone to speak to their Muslim brother or Muslim sister inside of the masjid about that which is permissible Islamically. So what is not permissible and what's meant by, you know, about which is permissible is that we're not backbiting someone else. We're not lying. We're not cheating. We're not doing something that's wrong or lying, right? We're not making up stories or tales. We're not creating false stories or plotting against one another or anything of that sort. So if someone is talking about something that is permissible to speak about in general, about this dunya, then it's permissible to speak about in general within the masjid as well. And we see in a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, where he says, "Uqimat as-salah wa an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So the salah was ready to start, you know, the iqamah was going, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to a man on the side of the masjid, and he didn't get up to go to the prayer. فَمَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَتَّى نَامَ الْقَوْمِ, until some of the people had become so tired and they were like dozing off, right? That's how long they waited for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a very interesting thing. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, we have Shaykh Dir'i. Allahu Akbar. Allah yajzik al-khair. We should share screens and have you teach the halaqah, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family and keep all of you safe and healthy and strong upon Iman and Islam. Ameen. So we see in this narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inside of the masjid and was standing on the side of the masjid, and the salah is ready to start, right? But of course, the salah, the prayer, doesn't start until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks to the front and stands in the position of the imam and begins the prayer, right? So what we see happening here is the complete opposite of what takes place in our masajid today. Usually when it's time for salah, we, you know, everyone's sitting there looking at the clock. It's rare that people are making dua. Only a few people are making dua. You know, some people praying their sunnah and so on. And everyone's looking at the clock like, okay. Beep. All right. It, you know, the time goes. It's 8:15. For example, Isha is at 8:15. So you see the clock tick 8:15 and it's time for the salah to start. So technically the imam should be in the front and the muadhin stands up and everyone stands while listening to the iqamah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah, qad qamati salatu, qad qamati salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. That happens in our masajid today. Most of the places that I've seen, that I've been to, all the time, regardless of whether the imam is there or not, the muadhin will start, except in cases where these masajid have muadhin that is appointed, who knows that he's not going to call the iqama until he sees the imam coming. And it's rare. I've been to only a few masajid, one masjid in particular, I won't mention which one, but one masjid in particular, I remember sitting in the front, and the muadhin, first of all, there's a list of muadhinin, like a list of people that are to call the adhan and the iqamah. And certain days and times are listed there for each one of them, okay? And I remember sitting in the front row next to the muadhin. He was on my left side, actually. And, you know, there are a few other of the imams, a few other imams, right? So I was there as, you know, a visiting imam, and there were a few other imams that were sitting next to me. And this was during the month of Ramadan, and it was time for Salatul Isha. And despite the clock ticking that it's time to start, despite its, you know, it being really, really late at night, right? Isha, late at night during the month of Ramadan. And, you know, nowadays Ramadan is late, right? Isha is late. And so despite all of that, I remember sitting there and I'm like, SubhanAllah, this is amazing. The muadhin would not even get up. You know, in other masajid, muadhin would get up and look around like, where's the imam, and create a big scene, right? The muadhin stayed sitting and waited. And I don't even remember him turning back ever. This one muadhin in particular that I've, you know, spent some time with, I don't remember him ever looking back to see where the imam is coming. He would tell by two ways, two things that he would notice if the imam is coming. First of all, if he would see the imam coming between him, right? Coming next to him, passing by him and standing in front of him, then the muadhin would stand up and call the iqama. Secondly, he would smell the perfume of the imam. Subhanallah. Right? He would smell the perfume of the imam. And he would know that the imam is near. And then he would stand up and he would start the iqama. And I would watch sometimes, some of the days I'd watch it. Subhanallah, it's like clockwork. Like there's some sort of, you know, vibe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts between the imam and the mu'adhin. It's time for salah. Hayya, the mu'adhin knows the imam is behind me. He's coming. He can either hear him or he could smell his perfume. And so the mu'adhin stands up and begins the iqama. And the imam comes forth and leads the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid. Okay, in the narration that we took of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid and he was talking to someone on the side of the masjid, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum waited for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the point that some of them were feeling sleepy and dozing off. And this is normal in the desert, especially when there's no air conditioning. Subhanallah, you know, you're sitting there, the masjid is hot and it's warm, it's been a long day, and you're just like, oh, you're dozing off, right? It's super hot. Subhanallah. Look at how patient the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were with regards to waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead them in prayer, as opposed to what we do today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and guide us with what is right and what is true of this deen, and allow us to embrace the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What really irritates me, and I'll say this here, and I say it in front of everyone, and I'll say it here. What really irritates me is sometimes I'm here in the masjid, or the other imam, you know, is here in the masjid, and people don't wait. The clock, you know, changes the time, and immediately someone stands up and starts calling the iqama. Whether, you know, we come or not doesn't matter. They'll just tell someone else, go and lead the prayer. And it's happened where both the imams are in the masjid to lead the prayer, and someone else ends up leading the prayer because the people just push a random person forth to lead the prayer. This is not the way it's supposed to be done, my brothers and sisters. So please, if you're listening, if you're watching, if you're one of these people that's in the front row, don't do that. Okay, don't just push someone else up randomly. Wait for the imam. Wait a minute. Wait 2 minutes. Wait 3 minutes, right? Look around. Ask, is the imam here? Sometimes, you know, I get caught right outside of my door, just in the back of the masjid. Someone stops, asks, you know, with wudu or something like that, or, you know, you're busy with something and subhanAllah, you're trying to get out, but sometimes you're stuck with people, you know, they're going through emotional roller coaster and stuff like that. It's very hard, very difficult to just walk away from people. You have to give them, you know, a little bit of respect. And I know people will say, well, what about the salah? You have to give the salah most respect. Yes, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that, you know, like there's no rush for the prayer. There's no rush, okay? Yes, we pray on time, and we're praying the prayer on time. We're not delaying it. There's no rush like, oh, I need to pray it right now, right? Khalas. So some advice with regards to speaking in the masjid, okay? It is permissible to do that based on the hadith that we saw of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to someone in the masjid. And he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to do this with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They would gather in the masjid and they would speak and talk about things to do with this world. But some advice that we keep in mind. First of all, that we don't disturb the people that are around us when we're talking in the masjid. So if you're talking about something in the masjid that is not related to the deen and it's related to the dunya, first of all, we keep our volume low, right? Generally, we're in the masjid, we try not to disturb people. We keep our volume low. And we try not to disturb the people that are around us. Someone might be praying a prayer. Someone might be reciting the Quran. Someone just might be making dua. Someone is sitting there reflecting, thinking about ayat of the Quran, or just pondering over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just want some peace and quiet. They left the hustle and bustle of their work and the home and the dunya and everything outside the walls of the masjid, and they just want some peace and quiet. So let them have it. Second thing that we need to keep in mind, you know, piece of advice with regards to speaking in the masjid, that you don't make it a habit of just coming and socializing, right? That is not a habit of just being in the prayer area. I'm not talking about the other parts of the masjid building, right? But in the prayer area, we don't make it a habit of coming and sitting in the prayer and just laughing and talking and, you know, having fun. Thirdly, that we stay away from talking about or saying things that are not permissible. So you're not going to get in the masjid and you're talking, you're like, oh, we're talking about the dunya, right? And it's permissible. It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about him talking in the masjid, and we're backbiting. No, we're not supposed to do that. Okay, so we're not going to be in the masjid backbiting others, telling lies, you know, talking about this, criticizing that, all these other things. Leave it, right? Leave things like that of the dunya. Talk about something that's beneficial. And lastly, in terms of pieces of advice that we could share with regards to speaking in the masjid, that we don't sit there for hours or lengthy periods of time just talking in the masjid, wasting our time. The masjid is a place that we come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the rules are not so strict, right? It's a place that we come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's a place that we feel sakina, a place that we feel tranquility, a place that we feel safe, a place that we feel happy, a place that we meet our Muslim brothers and sisters, a place that we enjoy talking to one another, a place that we can seek some help and advice, right? A place that we can go and learn some deen or even some dunya, right? Some math, tutoring, engineering, science, you know, physics, chemistry, coding, whatever it is that we want to learn. We can do that in the masjid, alhamdulillah. But it shouldn't be something that we come and we make a habit of going to the masjid only for the purpose of socializing, and we don't come to the masjid for the purpose of prayer. And I hate to say this, but it is a reality, okay? It is a reality. Hate to say this, waking you all up. The reality is that I see people, I'm here for sometimes lengthy periods of time, and I see people coming to the masjid to meet up with friends, to talk to one another. And it happened more prior to COVID than it does now, but I still see it happening. Where sometimes even minutes before the iqama, the adhan has been called, but minutes before the iqama, people are leaving the masjid. And that's one of the things that we're going to learn about as well, right? Is it even permissible to leave the masjid after the adhan is called? So what I'm reminding myself and others about here is that we don't just come to the masjid as a place to socialize. I know some masajid are called community centers, right? But the community center may have a masjid within it as well, a musalla, a place to pray. So if we're coming to the masjid, you might see some people coming to play a sport in the gym and then they leave minutes before the prayer. We shouldn't do that. Stick around for the prayer. Okay, stick around for the prayer. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Some people say, oh, I need to go take a shower, I'll just pray at home. You're in the masjid. You're in the masjid. Go make wudu, freshen up. Stop playing 10 minutes before the adhan is called. That gives you 20 minutes before the prayer, right? Where you can make your wudu, you can freshen up, you can go outside, get some fresh air, you can, you know, relax, you know, de-sweat instead of de-stress. De-sweat, right? And, you know, cool down and then come to the prayer, calm, you know, at ease, tranquility, alhamdulillah. Okay. The next thing that we'll learn, insha'Allah ta'ala, with regards to the etiquettes of coming to the masjid is jawaz al-akil wa shurb fil masjid, that it is permissible to eat and to drink in the masjid. Okay. To eat food and to, you know, to consume solids, liquids within the masjid. La ba'sa bil akli wa shurbi fil masjid. There's nothing wrong with eating or drinking something within the masjid. Li'anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ya'kula. كان يأكل في المسجد that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat in the masjid. وفعله دليل الجواز, right? So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that is dalil. That is evidence and proof that it's permissible to be done because he did it. And we see in the hadith, كنا نأكل على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد الخبز واللحم, right? That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that we used to eat in the masjid during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We would eat bread and meat in the masjid, right? So indicating the types of food as well that they used to eat inside of the masjid. So alhamdulillah, right? Alhamdulillah, we can do that. It is permissible to do that. Now, of course, we need to make sure that we don't spill any food, we don't leave garbage behind. And this, again, is another problem and mistake. And I just wish that people wouldn't do this. You know, a lot of the time we say, you know, when people come to the masjid, they just leave their shoes on the floor. Why can't they put their shoes on the shelf? To be honest, there's so much more than that. It's like people come to the masjid and they go to the bathroom and they use paper towel and they just drop it on the floor instead of putting it in the garbage. And it's like, why can't you just put it in the garbage can? There's this huge garbage can and paper towel is just this small. All you have to do is drop it right in there. This big, this small, can't get it in, bad at basketball. Okay, that's one thing. Another thing that happens is we see that people just leave a mess of water everywhere if they're making wudu and just splash, splish, splash, having a bath all over the place. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Another issue is that sometimes we see people bringing water bottles, plastic water bottles, or cups of coffee, and leaving them not only inside, but also outside of the masjid, right? Like literally leaving them outside the door of the masjid. I walked out of the door just 2 months ago, walked outside the door of the masjid. I opened the door and there's like three Tim Hortons coffee cups and a plastic Tim Hortons ice cap cup that, you know, each one of them was actually half consumed and just left outside of the door, literally just 3 feet away from the door of the masjid. You know, if we're coming to the masjid, we need to keep the masjid clean. So it's one thing to talk about the permissibility of eating something or drinking something within the masjid, that yes, it is permissible and it was done by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. But we need to keep in mind that when we do eat something in the masjid or anything in general around the masjid, we make sure that we look after the masjid more and better and more particular than we look after our own homes. So make sure that we look after the masjid even better than we look after our home. You would never find in our homes, hopefully, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy for every single one of us. You'll never find inside of our homes, you go into the living room, you go into the kitchen, you walk around the whole home, you're never going to find garbage just piled up everywhere, where you just leave things, right? Random things. You take it, you put it in the garbage, you empty the garbage, you bring it outside, the recycling, the organics, we separate everything. In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a place where we come to worship Allah azza wa jal, why is it that we feel that we can leave water splattered everywhere, paper towel dropped 2 feet away from the garbage can, not even placed into it, shoes that are not put on the shelf, empty coffee cups, empty water bottles on the carpeted area as well? Why? We shouldn't, right? So we should take care of the masjid, the masajid, not just this masjid, all masajid. Take care of it better and nicer and more neat than we take care of our own homes. Okay. My cousin's saying when he was in Bahrain, people used to adjust their iqal and ghutra inside the masjid in front of the mirrors. Right? Yes. We, you know, adjust our iqal. I should have worn my ghutra today. My wife would be like, yeah, why didn't you wear it? Wear your shemal. Right? Adjust it in front of the mirrors. Make sure you look good and neat. And that brings us to, actually, there's something we're going to talk about just in a few minutes, inshallah, right? Related to what you're saying, Ahsan. So the next thing we'll talk about is jawaz qawl al-shi'r fil masjid. So we said that it is permissible to eat something or to drink something inside of the masjid. We said that it's permissible to speak inside of the masjid. But it is also permissible to... Dun, 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 to what? Sing poetry in the masjid. Okay. It is permissible to sing poetry or nasheed within the masjid. Okay, we're not talking about turning the masjid into a concert hall. Wal-iyadu billah, what we're seeing happening in different parts of the world, you know, masajid closed, but concert halls and venues are full. Right? Places of prayer, we have to be separated. No, we can't go. There's a certain limit capacity, but, you know, places of party, mashallah, tabarakallah. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to guide every single one of us. But when we talk about jawaz qawl al-shi'r fil masjid, that it is permissible to sing poetry, that is permissible to sing poetry, but poetry that is permissible to begin with, right? Nothing that's going to deal with shirk or say anything that's wrong. إذا كان مباحاً ليس محرماً, right? It has to be something that's permissible to say, right? And also that it is not impermissible, right? There's nothing haram that is there. And we see that this is permissible due to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu an. You know, he was saying shi'r, you know, poetry in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, and he was, you know, praising or saying nice things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers. Right, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually made du'a for him for, you know, what he was saying about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's permissible to do that, not with instruments, just to sing or to say the poetry. Right, I'm not one to sing. My wife always says, "You can recite Quran. Why don't you sing to me?" Like, singing is not my thing. Right, so subhanallah. it is permissible to do that. And, you know, there's different types of singing. You have the singing of the Bedouins, right? Very like, and then you have the singing of the North Americans, you know, which is mashallah, tabarakallah, right? So the next point that we go to is Jawaz al-Lu'b. Okay, so the permissibility of playing within the masajid. And here we see a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that we all know very well, you know, the Abyssinians that were in the masjid on the day of Eid, and they were sort of like wrestling. They were actually playing with spears and shields, right? Kind of like they were reenacting a battle, or, you know, just playing around, play fighting, basically wrestling with one another, you know, using their strength and their force, but having fun with it. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that in the masjid. Aisha radiallahu anha comes behind him, puts her, you know, chin on the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her cheek against the cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she's watching. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks her, you know, do you want to continue watching, right? Do you like this? And she says yes. You know, she wants to watch, and so she watches. And then he asks her, are you done? And she's like, no, you know, she continues watching. Then he's, are you done? Yes, okay. And then she goes away, right? He tells her, okay, so you can go now. And so what were they watching? They were watching these, Abyssinians, right? They were from Abyssinia, right? But Muslim in the masjid praying with the Muslims, but playing as well afterwards on the day of Eid, a day of joy, a day of happiness. So the scholars say that it is permissible to play within the masjid. Okay. Now I know a lot of people like, astaghfirullah, how can you play in the masjid? Well, it's permissible when you're playing something that is permissible to play in the masjid. Okay. So again, if you can't say something that's haram, then obviously we shouldn't do something that's haram. Okay. We should be in a way that is permissible to be in general. Now, what is meant by that, or in addition to that, is that whatever it is that we're playing should be something that has some sort of skill or develops skill. Right? This is why when we do our youth programs, we usually have the youth in the masjid, and then we play like dodgeball or something with them, and then, you know, basketball or volleyball or badminton. And then when people say, let's play cricket, we're like, no, sorry, haram, you can't play cricket, right? It's not haram, but it's boring. It's like a couple of people moving around, everyone else is standing there waiting for like 3 days for the ball to be hit somewhere. Oh, alhamdulillah, okay, there we go. I'm just teasing you guys, I like cricket, alhamdulillah. But yeah, when it comes to playing in the masjid, what we do is, first of all, we want to keep in mind that here in North America, we need a place for our Muslim youth to come and to join and to gather and to do things. And so, alhamdulillah, we accommodate that here within the masjid. We have the gym area, but sometimes we use the musalla area. And when brothers come in the masjid, they're like, what's going on? What are you guys doing here in the musalla? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't freak out when he saw, you know, these Abyssinians in the masjid, you know, playing around with spears and, you know, and shields and so on. He let them be. And of course, again, people say, but it was the day of Eid, shouldn't be the norm. But there's nowhere else really in the society we live in for the Muslims to gather as Muslims to come and play and do things. So if we allow it in the masjid, as long as the masjid is being respected and the prayer timings are being respected and the people who are there to pray are being respected, as in they're given the space and the time to pray as well, and we all, of course, gather to pray, then there's nothing wrong with that. But there should be some benefit to the sport as well. Right? That it develops some skill, it assists in skill building of some sort. It could be mental skill, it could be physical skill, could be, you know, agility or strength precision, right? Some sort of precision, skill or sport that we are playing in the masjid, and that's beneficial and useful. So, you know, a lot of people like, oh, astaghfirullah, what are you doing? Why are you guys like running around in the masjid? Alhamdulillah, they're practicing. They're practicing for, you know, their blood flow and removal of cholesterol in the heart. Alhamdulillah, just trying to make it lighthearted because I know, you know, the halaqa is earlier, getting earlier, and children are watching. So alhamdulillah. When it's in person, we can go wild and jump up and down, right? But when we're online, it has to be a little bit more tame. All right. So the next thing we're going to look at, inshallah ta'ala, and we only have a few minutes left, is istihbab idharu zina. And this is something that we all know. We don't really need to spend too much time on. يستحب للمسلم أن يتخذ لصلاة الجمعة والعيد والعيدين ثوبا جميلا يتجمل به. Right? It's encouraged and recommended and preferred that we as Muslims, when it's the day of Eid in particular, or if it is the day of Jumu'ah, that we get ourselves ready and we look good. The Prophet ﷺ would take a ghusl, of course, and put on nice clothing. His nicest clothing, not only for Eid, but also on the days of Jumu'ah, right? He would get ready and look nice. The Prophet ﷺ liked to wear white. It was from his favorite colors to wear. And so that is something that is encouraged. Also mentioned is green. And there's even a mention of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you know, he saw a gown, a silk gown, and he was like, you know, this would be good that you can wear it for Jumu'ah, and you can wear it when meeting delegations that come to speak to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, no, I'm not going to wear any clothing that is for the people that will not benefit in the hereafter, right? Basically, silk, right, is not permissible for the men to wear. And then afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent this gown over, or this, you know, suit of clothing over to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was like, ya Rasulullah, like, I'm gonna wear this thing, you sent this to me, and you, like, you told me it was not permissible for us to wear, why are you sending it to me? He's like, I thought maybe you might benefit from selling it to someone else or gifting it to someone else, someone who can wear it, right? A woman, for example, is permitted to wear silk, so you can gift it to her. Or, you can give it to, you can sell it, right? Sell it to someone else. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Umar radiallahu anhu liked it, it looked nice. And so he told him, yeah, you know, that's something that's good. You can, you know, wear something nice on the day of Eid and Jumu'ah, or, you know, when delegations are coming, but just make sure that you're not wearing something that is not permissible for us to wear. In addition to that, perfume. Right? Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a man prepares himself, right, on the day of Jumu'ah, and performs wudu, right, purifying himself, and then performs wudu, clean and proper, right, and then puts oil on him, and this is more particularly on his hair, right? Oils his hair, and then applies perfume from his home, and then leaves to go to the masjid, and doesn't separate two people, right? Two people sitting down in the masjid, you come, you're like, excuse me, I'm coming through here. You come, you're like, Allahu Akbar, right? And you're pushing people aside, right? We don't have that issue with the 6-foot distancing anymore, but it's coming back very soon, inshallah ta'ala. So you put on the oil, right? You dress yourself nicely after cleaning yourself, put on the oil, right? Groom yourself, your hair, make sure you put on some perfume, and then you leave to go to the masjid. You don't separate two people in order for you to come and to pray in between them. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي and then praise from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for you to pray, whether it's 2 raka'ah or 4 raka'ah or 6 raka'ah or 8 raka'ah or 10 raka'ah or 12 raka'ah and 14 and 16 and 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30. Alhamdulillah, hopefully kids are watching, they're entertained. If not, you guys are probably like, oh my God, Dawud's annoying. And then subhanAllah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, praise what, you know, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for them to pray. Or has written for you to pray. ثم ينصت. And then remains quiet. إذا تكلم الإمام. When the Imam is speaking. If a man does all of that, or a person does all of that, on the day of Jumu'ah, and is quiet until the Imam is done, praise the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them of their sins from this Jumu'ah and the previous one, right? Or this Jumu'ah and the next one. So basically between Jumu'ah and Jumu'ah, if this is what we do, then we're forgiven of our sins. Allahu Akbar. Very nice, very easy. Right, and so yes, we're talking about clothing, right? Ahsan was saying people come and they look in the mirror and fix their ghutran and shimag and iqal and all that. Yes, right. We look good when we come to the masjid. We should be prepared, right? And I know Sheikh Riyad, sometimes he comes to the masjid and he sees brothers at Fajr time and he's like, "Why are you coming in your pajamas? Like you're coming to stand before Allah Subhanahu wa Taala." Yes, Alhamdulillah, we're here, right? Come to the masjid. You come at least. People are there. Yes, I get that. But we should also prepare ourselves. We're coming to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. Like, look nice. right? And I remember saying this years back when I was still a student in Medina. And then I remember at the next prayer, right? The next prayer, I saw one of the brothers who was in, you know, the small halakha that we were doing with some of the youth, and he came with his suit that he wore like for his graduation just a few months before that. He just graduated from high school. He came with a suit and a tie and everything. And I was like, mashallah, tabarakallah, you're going to a wedding today? He's like, no, you taught us this morning that when we come to the masjid, we should come with our best clothing, right? Come presentable to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was coming in a suit and a tie all the time for salah. I was like, this is amazing, man. This brother, literally for weeks, I would just see him in a suit and a tie. Even though he just graduated from high school, he wasn't working a job where he needs a suit and tie, but he just felt, I'm going to the masjid to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me put on my best clothing, right? SubhanAllah. Some people take it real seriously, and that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when we do things to the best of our abilities, right? With ihsan, as best as we possibly can. And the last thing that we'll take very quickly, inshaAllah ta'ala, an-nahyu 'anil khuruj min al-masjid ba'd al-adhan, that it is not permissible, discouraged, disliked to leave the masjid after the adhan has been called. Okay, except in the case of a necessity. Let's say someone breaks their wudu and they need to go and make wudu. Now, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't have washrooms, ease of access to washrooms and water like we do over here. Even now, if you go to Masjid al-Nabawi, you don't make wudu inside Masjid al-Nabawi. You put your shoes on, you go outside, you walk over to the you basically go down, right? Mas'ad. And you go down the escalators to the washrooms, you go over there, you make wudu, you come back and walk all the way in. It takes like 10 minutes, right? So in the case where a person needs to leave for a necessity, something that's a necessity is permissible, but generally once the adhan has been called, we don't leave the masjid. Abu Huraira radiallahu an mentioned, كنا قعودا في المسجد مع أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. Some of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم were in the masjid with Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. فأذن المؤذن, and the مؤذن called the أذان. فقام رجلا من المسجد يمشي فأتبعه أبو هريرة. So a man stood up in the masjid and started to walk over, and Abu Huraira was watching him. He was basically following him with his eyes, watching this man where he was going. حتى خرج من المسجد, right? Until that man left the masjid. فقال أبو هريرة, then Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said, أما هذا فقد عصى أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for that man, he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim, right? Who's that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he did something against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum would not leave the masjid after the adhan was called. So we'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. If anyone has any questions, please do feel free to type them in right now. I know I said I was going to finish earlier, and I'm just rambling on right now, just so that in case your children are watching, they're sort of going, oh my God, this guy doesn't stop and he doesn't take a breath. But anyways, if your children aren't watching and they're already in bed, alhamdulillah, that's good for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with more time to chill with your children already sleeping in bed. Any questions, please feel free to type them in. October 22, 2021. All day I've been writing 2022. It's 2021. Even on my khutbah notes, I wrote 2022. SubhanAllah. All right, any questions? I didn't see any. Alhamdulillah. That means everything was perfectly fine and crystal clear. And my wife's on and she hasn't said anything. So alhamdulillah, you know, that's good for me. And I see my cousin's on, and I see a few other people. Alhamdulillah, that's good. Khair, we'll give it another minute, because I know some people type, and I know some people swipe, and I know some people do this weird thumb thing. I never type like that. I can't do that. SubhanAllah, I swipe. I'm a swipe person. Oh no, my wife has a question. You can ask me when we get home, okay? It might just be too long. You always ask tough questions. Please have mercy on me. It's been a long day. When will the in-person halaqa reopen? Soon, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully. Okay, there was some announcement that was made today by Doug Ford, and the management I know since last week has been like discussing it and looking over options. How is it possible that I got so many groceries but still forgot the milk? How did you forget the number one grocery on the list that we needed was milk, and you forgot milk? And I don't have the car. You have the car. I have my scooter. I'm going to ride my scooter home. Tell us more about Bruce. SubhanAllah. Bruce, awesome guy. Honestly, he's like, he has inspired me. Alhamdulillah. Oh no, Zayan is on. Zayan, you're not allowed to ask any questions. You have to come to the masjid for salah. Okay, no questions. How do we build the habit to pray in the mosque? You get a buddy, a partner, right? Someone who you meet when you go to the masjid or encourages you to go. I know some people do a carpooling thing. Some people message each other, yalla, let's go. Or you have someone in your home that goes with you. So the two of you go together. That's important. Also, when you do go to the masjid for your salah, try to pray extra sunnah and nafil prayers, because then when the days you are lazy to go to the masjid, you're like, oh man, it's going to take too long. You're like, okay, I'll just pray the fard and then come home. Right, so at least you go for the fard and then come home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Hence my question, how is it possible? I don't know how it's possible, but didn't I tell you that you're going to go do groceries and you're going to come home and you're going to tell me, oh, but I forgot that one thing that we need. Alhamdulillah. It is the qadr of Allah. That's how it's possible. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you go do groceries, and I don't know how much you spent on groceries, but you come home and you forget the milk. The thing we haven't had all day. The thing we even had to borrow from the neighbors this morning. Milk. Allahu Akbar. You forgot to buy milk. Alhamdulillah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made you to forget, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right? You know, Allah has made you to forget, right? Alhamdulillah. Can't get upset with you because Allah made you forget. Getting upset with you for forgetting would mean I'm getting upset with Allah. Alhamdulillah. So are you going to get it or am I going to get it? Let me know. Because if you're going to get it, like, I need to go pick up my medicine too. So alhamdulillah. All right. Is perfume permissible for females? Yes, perfume is permissible for females, but they should wear it inside of their home. Okay. Even for men, right? Men should not wear a perfume that is going to attract others. And remember, when it comes to applying perfume, in the hadith, it mentions apply the perfume in your home, from your home. Why? So that you smell good at home for the people who live with you at home. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were returning from being away for a few months, whether they're away for some time, few weeks, few months, few days, he would have them stay outside of Medina and send someone forth to let the families of those men that were coming home, let them know your husband is coming home, in case they want to, you know, prepare themselves and, you know, maybe beautify themselves and so on and so forth, or, you know, whatever they need to do. Basically, their husband is not coming home, surprising them, and they're like, why didn't you tell me you were coming home? Remember, they didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't have cell phones like we do. They didn't have email. They didn't have, you know, tracking devices and all that. And so they would send someone forth to let them know that, you know, someone was coming home. So is it permissible for women to wear perfume? Yes, it's permissible for them to beautify themselves inside of their home, for their spouses, for those that are mahram for them. It's permissible for them to wear perfume inside of the home, but not outside of the home, because it may attract someone. And again, it's not just for women. It is for the men as well. But for the men, they can wear it outside of the home. That's something that's permissible. Remember, the perfume, the oud, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love to wear is usually a perfume that people don't find to be too attractive. Men like it. Men love oud. So you'll notice a lot of men you ask, do you love oud? They're like, yeah, I love oud, but my wife hates it. Isn't that amazing? The oud that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love to wear, oud, is a perfume. Of course, I'm not saying that it's not liked. No, the smell and scent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, his own scent was one that everyone admired. But when we look at, you know, fine, pure oud, it's a scent that men love, and it's a scent that women generally don't like, right? Because I know when I wear oud, my wife is like, oh. Right? And I've spoken to many brothers, and they're like, man, your oud smells amazing, but I could never wear that at home. I have one brother who comes to my office specifically to get the strongest scent of oud that I have before Salah. And he just puts a little bit on so that he can smell it. But he's like, I need to make sure that I wash my hands and stuff and it gets off of me before he gets home because his wife doesn't like it. So oud in itself is interesting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. 8:07, a few more minutes to go. Okay, you're going to get that. Good, alhamdulillah. So Zayan, yeah, I mentioned that. Do I like kunafa? I love kunafa. Love kunafa. Absolutely love kunafa. Alhamdulillah. When I used to go to Jeddah from Medina, we used to go get kunafa freshly made. Alhamdulillah. Didn't used to find it in Medina, to be honest, at that time. What's the proper Islamic understanding of jilbab? Jazakumullahu khairan. Ameen. Wa barakallahu feekum. Wa fatahallahu alaykum. Wa jazakumullahu khairan for the question. What's the proper Islamic understanding of jilbab? Well, we'll cover that another day, inshallah, because it's almost time for Salatul Isha, and I don't want it to go longer, and then people stay online and say, I was late for Salah because I was watching the live stream. Generally speaking, the jilbab is something that is worn, that covers the body, and that is loose, and goes from top to bottom. We'll leave it at that, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. Barakallahu feekum. We'll see all of you soon for Salatul Isha, and if I don't see you for Salatul Isha, I'll see you on Sunday evening for Essential Fiqh, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته